have your Bibles tonight, 2 Kings chapter 5. And all of us have to fight with pride because the Lord's been good to us. We're going to look at a little bit of that tonight. Genesis 35. I want you to notice, if you would, in Genesis 35, verse 1, the Lord told Jacob, he said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. Now, Bethel, somebody tell me, what does Bethel mean in the scriptures? What does it usually represent in the scriptures? It's something that when you go back to Bethel, it means something. What is it? Somebody tell me what it is tonight. Raise your hand, somebody. Yes, sir, John? It means the house of God. You're going back to the Lord. It's sort of like you're repenting of your sin. You're getting things right, and you're going back to the presence of the Lord. In other words, you're coming home. You're coming home to the Lord. And so if you remember earlier, Jacob was going to get his wife. He was going to find Rachel, although he didn't know her name. And when he stopped off between the long trek it was to from Laban's house to from his home in Canaan, he stopped off in this one area, and the Lord met with him at night in a vision. And he named that place Bethel, set up an altar, the house of God. And tonight, anytime you read the scriptures and you see the word Bethel, it means the house of God. And the Lord's telling him, come back to Bethel. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, rise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. So you'll notice in the outline, Jacob obeyed the Lord and returned to Bethel. A, God told Jacob to go to Bethel and build an altar unto him. You'll notice also, Jacob knew his family was not doing right. Now notice, if you would, in verse 1, he says, and make there an altar unto God. So I want you to go back to Bethel, and I want you to make an altar. I want you to worship me. The altar at Bethel represents a worshipful heart to the Lord. It's like coming to this altar here and getting on your knees and saying, Lord, we have people from time to time that come into the church and they say, look, I'm just wanting to know if I could come into the church and pray. It's like, I just like to go to the altar and pray. We have that from people come in, just want to meet with the Lord a little bit. And they just sort of feel like the presence of God is in the house of God at the altar. And this is exactly what's happening with Bethel. He's going to the house of God and he's building an altar. And he's going to kneel there, make a sacrifice. Notice, if you would, in verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel. Now, there's a real lesson here. Jacob knew his family wasn't doing right. When God said, go to Bethel, you'll notice, he said, what he tells his family, he said, look, notice in verse number 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods, let us arise and go up to Bethel. We're going to Bethel. We're going to church. It shouldn't be that you know your family's not doing right, but you do fix it. If you know your wife is struggling, your husband is struggling, encourage them. Pray with them. Try to get them to church. If you've got family members. But if you're the head of your house and you know things aren't right within your home, that's the number one goal that you have in life, is to help your family get things right. Jacob, the Lord says, I want you to come to Bethel. I want you to come back to Bethel. I want you to come back and worship me. I want to be your God and be close to you. Remember, there's no churches, so he says, I want you to come back to the house of God, to the place where we met last. And Jacob says, I know this, to go back to the presence of God, to get back into the place of fellowship with God, you've got to clean up. Notice what he says. Put away the strange gods in verse 2 that are among you and be clean. Now, there's nobody in this room that I know of that's got a God on your mantle and you're worshiping the God of whatever. Or you bought a God and you put it up there. Nobody here is doing that. But you know what? Our job can become our God, and we work at it all the time. We don't think about the Lord much, and we're just working all the time. Or we're dreaming about when we go on vacation, or we're dreaming about being retired, or we're dreaming. We've got all these thoughts in our mind that are not the Lord. And if we're not careful, you tell me the thing you think about the most, and that can become in the place of our great God. The thing that Daniel did to get close to the Lord is he taught with him three times a day. He opened up his window. He had a plan. He went home, opened up his windows, got down and said, Lord, I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you today. Three times a day. The discipline of wanting to meet with God. I want to stay clean, Lord. I want to stay close to you. And Jacob knows his family's not close. But when God says, I want you to come back to Bethel, he goes to his family and says, put away all your false gods. That's a terrible thing. To know that and have accepted it. If you know your children are struggling, boy, you ought to be on your knees. If you know your mate is struggling, you ought to be on your knees. That's the only way to bring them back to the Lord. Well, Jacob looks at him and says, put away your false gods and get cleaned up. Be clean. Notice the words, be clean and change your garments. In other words, the Lord wants us to come before him with a pure heart. And we've got to do that to go back to Bethel. And you can come to church, but to come to the presence of the Lord, you got to clean up your heart. You can come to church and whatever else you want, but you cannot meet with the Lord until this inside is cleaned up. And, you know, I think whenever we come to meet with the Lord, we do come with our best. We do make sure things are clean. We make sure we come with clean clothes, and it's sort of a respect. I heard somebody saying, you know, I want to be clean for the Lord. I want to be prepared to meet with the Lord. And so the mindset is, I'm coming to meet with the Lord. If we could put that into our hearts and minds, you drive into the parking lot, this is the Lord's house, and all of a sudden our mind begins to gear down. Our mind begins to change. I want the Lord to speak to me tonight. Lord, I want you to talk to my heart tonight. Lord, I want to draw close to you tonight. If we could do that every time we come in the parking lot, the presence of the Lord can meet with you here. Lord, I'm sorry for anything I've done in my life. Lord, I'm sorry that maybe you think back during the day and you try to confess your sin. Be clean, he says. Now notice, if you would, see in the outline, he told his family to put away their false gods and clean up before God. He couldn't go to Bethel dirty. Each person was and still is responsible for his own heart to keep it clean. Now, if you're a father, you're sort of responsible for your family, but quite frankly, your wife is responsible for her own heart. Vice versa. And your children are responsible for their hearts. But because we are over them, it's a time for us to pray with them. It's a time for us to spend time with them. I often wondered, a family of five, father and mother, bring your children to church, three children, put them into Christian school. Why, when they graduated, one of them would go this way, one of them would go that way, and one of them would go straight. You know what I've realized? I was a youth pastor for 14 years. Hundreds of young people. Chicago, we had 230 in the youth group. In Dallas, probably 220 through 30. And Memphis, we had about 100. And I watched parents and I watched children. And I watched them as they began to, their hearts began to turn. And sometimes parents would cover for them. Oh, he's a good kid. I don't want a good kid. I want a godly kid. I want a kid that wants to please the Lord. That's all that matters to them. And so I begin to notice certain things would happen. And you know, the number one ingredient was a lack of attention and a lack of time. That's what it takes. Now, don't ever give up on your children. I mean, You know, things happen from time to time. And when they do, don't give up on them. You pray for them. You plead with them. Plead with the Lord. There are some times when we have to turn our children over to the Lord and say, Lord, would you watch out for them? I know they're struggling in certain areas, and Lord, would you please help them? Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your mate. You turn them over to the Lord. Lift them up to the Lord. That's what parents do. That's what adults do. If your parents are unsaved and your children of those or your parents are not in the Lord's will, don't give up on them. Lift them up to the Lord. That's what Christians do for each other, even if the other person is not saved. And you'll notice here, he tells his family, let's clean up. We're going to go into the presence of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that we can do only so much. In the end, each person is responsible for themselves. And we stand before the God alone, not together. I would stand before the Lord today for me, not for Janet. I wouldn't stand before the Lord today for my dad, my mother. Each one stands before the Lord alone. And that's why I want to encourage you today to address your relationship with the Lord and your fellowship, that you make it sweet and close, and that you keep it that way, so that when you stand before him, there's a sweetness between you and the God of heaven. It's not going to just all of a sudden you step foot inside of heaven and you see the Lord and you're going to say, hey, Lord, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be home. It's not going to be that gushy, wishy-gushy thing, because the Bible says the Lord wipes away all tears from our eyes at the end of the book of Revelation. So my encouragement to you is start today to be clean, to be close to the Lord, to be loving to the Lord. To spend time with him. Notice, if you would, in the outline D. Before we turn off that, I want you to take your Bible and turn, if you would. Keep your finger in chapter 35 and turn to Psalm 66. I want you to see this one thought. Remember, he says to his family, be clean. Put away your gods. Be clean. In other words, put away the things that are before the Lord and be clean. Well, notice, if you would, in Psalm 66. Look, if you would. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord, or fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And Jacob knew that, and that's why he said to his family, be clean, clean up. Because if we regard any iniquity, if we allow anything in our heart, then the Lord's not going to hear us. So notice, if you would, with me in the outline, D in the outline, Jacob told his family they're going back to the great God of heaven and worship him because, and he gives a reason in verse 3. Notice, if you would, in Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 3. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God. In other words, we're going to go back to Bethel. I'm going to make an altar unto God. And notice this. Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the day which I went. So understand, there were two reasons he gave his family for going back to Bethel. And there's still good reasons today. We're going to go back to Bethel. Why? Because God heard my prayer. He answered my prayer. And that's why we as parents, we tell our children about answers to prayer. It's one of the reasons I want to have some testimonies from time to time on a Wednesday night, because if you've got an answer to prayer, share it. It encourages everybody. And so he says, look, I want you to know he answered my prayer. And all these other gods did not answer our prayers, but my God answered our prayer. And your God, if you put him first in your life again, if you clean up. And then notice the second thing he said, and was with me in the way that I went. And he walked with me. Now, folks, that's what you want for your children and for your family. That God would hear them and he would walk with them. You want that for your wife or for your husband. You want that for your sons and daughters. So that's why you go back to Bethel. Is so that God will hear you and he will walk with you. Because he is worth it. Now, notice, if you would, E in the outline. God also went with Jacob as he traveled. There's one of the reasons. F, they all gave up their strange gods and Jacob buried them so no one could find them. In verse 4, you'll notice if you would, that in verse 4, they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. I think that's quite a statement. All the strange gods. None of the children held a god back, so I'm going to give them all to Dad. He won't know I've got one here. They gave them all up. So they did respect their dad. And notice if you would, they gave them everything, all their earrings, which represented their gods, which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. He takes them and buries them under the oak. And so the idea is these are rot. We don't want anything to do with them again. Notice if you would, in verse number in G in the outline, the Lord protected Jacob and his family by causing fear in the hearts of those around them, and no one attacked them as they were traveling to Bethel. So notice in verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So you got to understand, the people around Jacob is a group of family of 50 or 60 people, and there are cities, and they could have easily overwhelmed them. But when they said, we're going to Bethel, notice in verse 5, and they journeyed. So they obeyed the Lord, and they started back, and Jacob is worried about being able to make it back safely. And remember, his boys didn't do right. They butchered a whole village because of what they did to their daughter. They paid them back. And Jacob was worried, the people are going to attack us. And God said, if you'll come back to Bethel, if you get rid of your false gods, if you'll clean up, I'll protect you. And that's still the way it is today. So notice, if you would, they did not pursue them after the sons of Jacob. So they went back to Bethel. They went to the Lord clear, free and clear. And notice Roman number 2. And when they arrived at Bethel, he built an altar to worship God. He obeyed the Lord exactly. And you'll notice he named the altar after God himself. Look in verse 7. And he built there an altar and called it El Bethel, the God of the house of God. So he's trying to make God understand, look, Lord, this is your place. This is God, the God of Bethel is here. The God of this house is here. And notice with me, if you would, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. So we learn to go back and remember God's answers, remember God's blessings. And then we take the time to say, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to worship you. And folks, tonight, I want to encourage all of you to do that. Go back in time a little bit. When God answered one of your prayers, or when you felt the presence of God going with you, that's coming back to Bethel, is what he's saying here. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, he had sweet memories of God at Bethel. He remembered the Lord coming and meeting with him. He remembered the angels going up and down the ladder, and just the presence of God in his life. And notice if you would, see in the outline, as anytime something good's happening, the old devil has to come along. And Rebekah's nurse died at Bethel. Then it broke their hearts. Look in verse 8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And so the idea was, look, we come back to Bethel, we're trying to do the right thing, and then something difficult happens. We lose something very precious to us. The nurse for Rachel, very close. And literally it says the Alabakthoth, the cause of it. Well, the name of it was called Alabakthoth. And what its name, it means the oak of weeping. So the whole family had a broken heart over this girl. They loved her. And notice if you would, then Roman numeral 3, God blessed Jacob again at Bethel. Look at verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again. And folks, that's what happened when we come back to Bethel. God comes back to us. God gets close to us. Remember this, folks, tonight. If we've ever been close to the Lord, and we're not now, he never moved. It's always us. So to go back to Bethel is to go back to the presence of God. It's not get to him, try to find him. He's always there. The place of the presence of the Lord. The Lord's always in this house. That's one of the reasons you should be faithful to the Lord's house. And I'm thankful you're here. You know, I sort of dread when Awana starts, and I sort of dread when Teen Time starts back again, because I love having this house of God fuller during the summertime when everybody's coming. Even though there's vacations, it's still fuller. And so watch this. How many of you are working in Awana's this summer? Raise your hand. Raise it up. All these people will be gone next in 2 weeks. They won't be in this room. And so you know what? It's really important that we all come and encourage one another and get people to come and encourage people to come on a Wednesday night so we can study the word together and pray together and fellowship to one with another. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, God reminded Jacob that his name is now Israel. So if you'll notice, does anybody remember what Israel means? Does anybody remember what Israel means? Tommy.
Prince.
A prince with God. That's what it means. A prince with God. And so God reminds him, look, you're special to me, Jacob. I'm going to call you Israel, prince. You're my son. I want you to act like my son. You're special to me. Notice, if you would, verse 10, Jacob said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. You'll notice that he said that earlier in Scripture. It's back in a couple chapters earlier. He said, look, I'm changing your name, but it didn't stick. And the reason I think it didn't stick is because the family wasn't right. And so now the family gets right. And from here on, he's pretty well called Israel. And he becomes the people of God from here on. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, B, this is Roman numeral 3b. God, as the Almighty God, promised him fruitful offspring, and they would become kings and nations. Look in verse 11. And God said unto him, because I've changed your name to Prince, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. Your children are going to be kings and going to produce nations. Now notice this in verse 12. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the other day I went on the map, and I went on a globe, and I looked at the nations of the world. And we've got so much about Israel. All the different nations, United Nations, they're talking about Israel. A lot of stuff is about Israel. And you know, the West Bank and this thing and that thing, and is Iran going to attack Israel? And do you know what? Israel is the size of New Jersey. But God said, I'm giving it to you, period. And they lost it for 2,000 years because they didn't do what's right. And God said, but I'm going to give it back to you. And now they're there. And I want you to understand, it is such a tiny place. Some places it's just 30-something miles wide. But the whole world's about that. Israel, Israel, Israel. You know why? They're the Lord's people. They're the center of attention in the tribulation period. I'm just trying to get you to understand that this prince with God, this nation that comes from him, he said, I'm going to give you the land, and he did. Now, 6 million of them had to die before the world said, we're going to give it back to you. But I want you to know something. There's no nation like this that all these years is still a nation with such a small group of people, yet God blesses them. And they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And notice, I checked the other day, the third largest army of tanks and aircraft in the world? Israel. How is it that this tiny little group of people is among the 226 nations of the world so famous and so people hate them so much because they're God's people. And God stands up for them. And God's blessing them. And he says it in this chapter. Notice, I will give it to thee and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Now notice, if you would, Romans number 4. As Israel traveled back to his home, Rachel gave birth to Benjamin and died. So he decides to go back home. You'll notice in verse number 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrathah, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. And you'll notice, but his father called him Benjamin. It was the son of my sorrows, and Benjamin, oh, that's different. Now, it's a different thing. It's now the son of my right hand. So, Jacob is now Israel. He's going back home. He loses the love of his life. And yet you'll notice, be in the outline, shortly after Jacob arrived home, Isaac, his father, dies. But now he's back home. Look at verse 27. Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And you'll notice in verse 29, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died. So it's bittersweet to go back home. He's back home with his family. He's back home, but yet his wife is gone, the wife of the love of his life, and then his father's gone. And you'll notice, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now then you'll notice this. Now these are the generations of Esau as Edom. Chapter 36 is about generations. It's about their families. And I want you to notice, if you would, Roman number 5. Jacob and Esau became wealthy. And I want you to see this. Look in verse 36, chapter 36 and verse number 37. For their riches were more than they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. So God had blessed them so much they couldn't dwell in the same land. So Esau goes to Seir, which is Mount, which is Edom, and Jacob maintains the land of Canaan. Now, I want you to notice in the outline, in this chapter, the generations are listed. We're not going to take the time to go down the generations, but you can see some special names there. And you'll notice, B, God kept his promise to bless the two boys. In previous chapters, he said, I'm going to bless both boys. And God keeps his promises. And you and I have to understand, if we put ourselves in the position of blessing, we go back to Bethel, then God can bless us. And notice, if you would, see in the outline, they became so rich they couldn't live together. There wasn't enough room for them to support their herds. And then you'll notice, if you would, Esau lived in Seir and Jacob lived in Cana. And I just want to pause here. God was so good to the two men. I want you to listen to this, who didn't deserve his blessings. Esau, if you remember, wanted to kill his brother. Said, I'm going to wait. Whenever things settle down, I'm going to kill my brother. We don't deserve blessings. We're that bitter. And then Jacob goes and he deceives his brother, cheats his brother. He doesn't deserve blessings either. But when God chooses to bless his people, and that's you and I, when we try to maintain a connection to the God of heaven, he's going to bless us if we do right. And tonight, I want you to understand chapter 36 is about God keeping the promise to bless us. And he blesses us. Yes, they didn't deserve it. Yes, we don't deserve it. Yes, God still blesses us. And tonight, I want you to understand there is a position of great blessing. And there's a position of just blessing. And then there's a position where God corrects us. Which one are you in? The position of correction? The position of blessing somewhat? Or the position of great blessing? Great blessing is Bethel in the heart. Tonight, where's your heart? Is it in the presence of the Lord? Have you taken the things of importance in your life and move them down where they're not first, second, and third, but you put the Lord first. Tonight, could I encourage you to put yourself in the position of great blessing? That's what Jacob did, and his name was changed to Prince. And God will bless you and I if we do what's right. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here. And the Lord's spoken to your heart about something. Maybe there's people in your family not right, and you're not worried about it. Could I encourage you to pray for them, lift them up? Allow the Holy Spirit to burden your heart. Not to put you in despair or great disappointment, but to put you in burden where you lift them up. You care for them. And maybe you're here tonight, you need to put aside some things that are too important to you and put them in third or fourth place. Put the Lord first, His house first. Maybe you need to make the Lord some promises at the altar of Bethel. I'd encourage you to do that tonight. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. So thankful for the example of Jacob. Lord, you changed his name to Prince. And Lord, he really didn't deserve it. Lord, none of us deserve it. But you delight to bless your children. I pray that you'd help us to try to put ourselves in the place of great blessing. And Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.